You're listening to the Kumek Podcast, hosted by our teacher development team. Today, we have a recording from our 2021 Annual Teachers Conference. Dr. Radha Modgill talks about how we can build back better in medical education. Enjoy!
Real pleasure to be here, and a real pleasure, real honour to be invited, so thank you ever so much. For asking me to do this. It really is a real pleasure. Lovely to see you as well, see faces after a year of not being face-to-face. So yes, I'm just gonna just go into my screen to share my screen. Okay, so yeah, my presentation really is around the same themes that Ros was speaking about. Obviously, we've had such a challenging year, and that is the understatement. I'm sure all of you, every single one of you, has actually really felt the strains, the stresses, the challenges of the pandemic. And just hearing from Anne some of the testaments from the medical students of people that you've been teaching and supporting and tutoring, it really is an absolute admirable testament to your work as tutors and teachers. And I think one of the key things that I would like to really reiterate to all of you is say thank you, because, and well done. Because we don't often hear thank yous and well done's, and we don't hear them enough. But I think it's just a really great time for you all to sit back and just reflect about what you've actually achieved in the last year and a half, what you've been through, what you've coped with, and just how much of an impact you've had on all the students that you've taught in terms of supporting them, because you've also been the backbone for them. So I'd like to say well done and thank you to all of you for getting through the last year and a bit. So my presentation today, I hope, will be inspiring. I hope it's going to be a chance for you to reflect and to think about, as Ros was saying, just how you want to move forward and how we can build back better. Because after a period of change and challenge, there is also an opportunity to reset, rethink, and to reflect and to learn lessons to help us move forward and help us to move forward in a more positive, optimistic, and more effective way. So my talk is going to be just about for about 15 minutes. It's going to be very much a how-to. I'm a big believer in practical steps and practical tips, and advice is great, but I think also the how-to is really important, because that's what makes it tangible and makes people, all of us, be able to actually put it into practice, which is obviously how things change, and not necessarily just by words. So a bit about me. Thank you so much, Ros, for your kind introduction. So I am I'm a GP. I normally work in London. I've been working outside of London for the last year and a half in the pandemic in A&E. I've also been teaching medical students since about 2009, which I absolutely love. They give me energy, they give me optimism, and they give me a lot of self-reflection as well. And back in sort of 2008, I sort of fell into doing broadcasting work and television and radio, really by chance. My sister saw an advert in a hospital near where she lived, and she brought it back for me, and that was for a BBC Three programme. So I tried that, and I absolutely loved it. I really liked, like all of you do, really like communicating, really like sharing knowledge and information, and really liked seeing positive change and learning from other people in a very creative way. And I think that's something which all of you can relate to, and all of you do every single day. So since that time, I've got involved in anything and everything that makes me feel inspired, helps me feel like I'm making a difference. And I've been really lucky to do a lot of stuff really around mental health, emotional well-being, because I personally feel that if we can build on that and get those foundations right about how we think about recognizing feelings and self-awareness, then actually all of those changes, habit changes, positive changes that we can make in our lives all stem from that. So that's where my passion really has been in terms of my broadcasting work. So I now want to try and perhaps share some of the things that I've learned with you during this talk, in terms of how we can build back. Hopefully it'll be relevant, practical, and hopefully it will make you reflect on just how incredible you already are, but also, you know, what things you can maybe do in your own life and in the lives of the students that you teach to actually help get better as well. So as I've said, a big well done. change, challenge is not easy. I mean, we've had crisis as well at points in our professional lives and perhaps in personal life as well. And I think it's really important to think right now about that term resilience, which is used a lot, but it really is an important thing to think about. How are you feeling right now as an individual? Are you feeling burnt out? Are you feeling tired, exhausted? You know, that can have an impact on how we communicate, our ability to connect, and our ability to be the kind of teachers and tutors and role models for our students. And likewise, anything that we reflect on in ourselves is also obviously relevant for our students and our patients around us. And it really does come back to that old saying of, you know, we need to look after ourselves first in order to be able to give the kind of things that we want to other people. And also by our actions, our actions, I think, inspire other people around us much more. So if we're actually taking the time to look after ourselves, then hopefully we can inspire others too as well, just by our simple actions every single day. So reconstruct now after we've all been deconstructed is the key message. So I put together a little kind of ingredient pack, if you like, a little recipe about how we can all individually build back better. And with that individual change, hopefully then within our groups that we work within, they can also change. And then that will also ripple out into our students and our patients also. So a bit of a toolkit that I've created. There are lots of things you can put in this toolkit, but I think it's I've chosen basically about five things that I think are not often spoken about in terms of well-being and sort of building back and making positive change. But I think they're really important things. I think these five components that I've listed here on this slide are often seen as sort of fluffy things or ethereal things that don't really matter, or perhaps we talk about them when we're at primary school. But I'm a really strong believer that these are all things that we need as adults, and actually really powerful tools to help us build back better, to look after ourselves, and to hopefully help ourselves make positive change as well in our lives. So kindness, creativity, individuality, time, and joy. And I'd really like to focus in turn on each of those five for others and for yourself as well. So first of all, kindness. What is kindness? So you might be thinking this is really simple and really obvious, but I don't think many of us really give ourselves time to think about the power of kindness and what it actually looks like. And kindness is really important because it's about giving ourselves the space and the time to actually recognize ourselves. So it's giving time, it's being given time, it's for others, it's for ourselves, it's about connection, and it's in our communication, obviously, with our words, our eye contact, our body language, all the things that you know really well as amazing tutors, and things you do every single day with patients as well. So I always think it's helpful to think about what kindness is not. So kindness is not a soft skill. It's not something that we that doesn't exist. It's not something that isn't tangible. It's not a nice add-on. And it's not nice if you can get it. It's an absolute essential. If you think about in your daily lives, the times that you've shown a student that basic kindness, or a patient that basic kindness, and the response and the impacts that you've had on that individual, I would go so far as to say that that actually is probably the thing that they will remember for the rest of their lives, and the thing that you will remember, and also the thing that actually gives you the most satisfaction from your job. So just think about some examples of when you've been kind to someone, but also when someone has been kind to you, and really think about what that's done for your emotional well-being, your mental health, and also that connection and bonding together. It's not fluffy or woolly, and it's not a tick box. So just have a little think about what kindness means to you, and actually, like I say, how it can help, how practicing kindness in our daily lives can help us build back better for ourselves, and then sequentially for other people around us. How important is it? Well, it is life-saving. I believe that. I think kindness, time, empathy, communication, someone feeling heard and listened to, can save lives. It can help our students to feel recognised, particularly in this time of crisis and challenge. And it's a simple tool. It's one that we've all got. And it's basically, I think about it as the equivalent of sort of basic life support, if you like, for our mental health. And it's also not just for us and our patients and students, but for organisations. It's at every single level, but we need to start with ourselves first. So why should we, and how can we bring more kindness to ourselves? Why should we? Well, the energy we bring to our work and our educational roles really matters, as you all know. When we're kind to ourselves, we have that energy to give our students, we have that energy to give our colleagues, especially during this time of stress and pressure professionally. I think that's really important to bring teams together. And also the purpose that we bring, the support we can offer others, and the intention that we carry. And kindness really tangibly can be thought of as our thoughts about ourselves, our feelings about ourselves, and our actions towards ourselves. And they feed into our self-esteem and confidence. And again, this might seem really basic to you, but these things have real impacts on how we feel and how we can then come out of this crisis and challenge and move forward into change and change for the better. So again, just thinking about your thoughts, like what thoughts do you have about yourself? Those can be changed. You know, they're a habit. They're a habit of thoughts, habit of actions. It takes time, but it can be done. So recognizing its importance, recognizing why you want to kind of treat yourself a bit more kindly. We've all known that when we're under stress and pressure and challenge, we tend to perhaps neglect ourselves, forget about ourselves, put ourselves last. And I would love to say to all of you today that actually, just to start thinking about how you can do the opposite. Are you giving yourself time and space in your day? Are you looking after yourself? Are you creating moments of self-kindness, like having an early night, like having a bath, for example? And how are you talking and thinking about yourself? Are you saying well done to yourself enough after those challenging sessions with students or sessions with patients, for example? So yes, these are just some questions to think about for you in terms of tangible changes that you can make. So what is kindness to you? How can you practice that to yourself on a daily basis? How can you show that to other people? And also the kind of daily tools that you can use to build self-esteem and confidence. We've all had our working patterns changed over the last year and a half. We've had to work in different environments, different methods and modes of working. And every single change that we have can knock our confidence, can knock our self-esteem. So how are you reaching out for support about that? How are you talking to yourself about actually saying well done and congratulating yourself and building your confidence again, and not to be worried or ashamed about perhaps knocks to your confidence? We've all had to go through a lot of variations of how we work, and I think that's really important to recognize. So not to be too hard on yourself and to share that with other people, share that with colleagues. Second kind of tangible tool is creativity, which I'm a big fan of. And I think it's got a really massive role in building back better. Creativity obviously helps us to be aware of that our present moment and the now, helps us to connect into joy, and it also gives us so many ways of communicating and connecting with other people. You know, when we're involved in creative pursuits together, we really bond, we really connect, and we connect in a different way. I'm sure you can all relate to doing an activity like painting or pottery or just playing with children in your lives or young people in your lives. There's a way that we connect that is so different when we're doing an activity like that and something creative compared to just talking to somebody. And also it can help us set goals. It's holistic. So again, as professionals, sometimes we tend to always focus on our work, but thinking about creativity and us as a whole person. And going back to that time when we were at school, perhaps, when, you know, we used to have to put forward our sort of forms for applying for university, and they would always say, make sure it's a well-rounded application and you show your talents in lots of different aspects of your life, not just about academic work. And I think we need to remember that for our adult lives as well. So what does creativity look like? Well, it looks like whatever you want it to look like. There's no should, no right or wrong. It could be gardening, arts, crafts, baking, anything, but also things like coding, IT design. There's lots of things that are creative that don't look like that sort of stock image on a newspaper article that we might see with a typical image of someone painting. It could be anything that really takes you away from worries, from the future, from the past sort of thinking, anything that brings you into that present moment, and anything that brings you joy and helps you express who you are. Because also that's another way that we can build back better and kind of improve our resilience. So as I said, not comparison based, not judgment based. It really is about building that resilience and capacity to manage challenge and change, and also to bring balance and grounding, I think, and self-care to you, and also to encourage your students to get creative in the way they present, the way they express themselves, the way they work with you. I think that's also a really great thing to help students get back into and really encourage in them also. So yes, again, just reflect, what is this like for you? So we're all individuals. What are you doing already? What are you not doing? What did you used to enjoy? What's been squeezed out of life because you got busy? Why did you stop doing that? And what did it provide you with? How did it make you feel? And then what are the obstacles and challenges to you restarting that? And what practical steps can you take to actually get that creative space back in your life? And because that's going to help, like I say, us to move forward as individuals, as teams, and as tutors as well. The third thing is individuality. So we're all unique. We all react to things differently at different speeds, in different ways, and in different times. And I think the way that we're coming hopefully out of the pandemic now, we need to recognise that we're all individuals, and we need to empathise and understand with our students, our patients, but also ourselves. How are we doing coming out of this? How are we feeling? Not just to take a stock approach to students, to ourselves, that we should all be adapting and sort of recovering in a certain way. So really listen, really hear, really try to understand. For you, and also, like I said, for your students, what do they need? What's happened to them in their lives? What are their specific worries and fears? And I think if we can help and understand that individuality, we can then tailor how we're approaching, how we're teaching, and how we're basically managing situations as we move forward. So to keep that in the back of our minds always. There is a huge pressure to conform and the comparison trap. So again, you know, if students are feeling excluded, if they've got a lot of pressure on themselves to be perfect, or they're feeling undervalued, then really important to recognise that. And again, building back better is based on non-judgment. It's about seeing through that story and commenting only on our journey or their journey, and being positive about that, trying to break free, if you like, from that pressure to conform and that pressure to compare, which is very evident in my work with students and young people. Fourth thing is time. Might sound simple, might sound really obvious, but again, sometimes there's this pressure and a rush to be better and to get back to normal, whatever that might be, before we're ready, and without recognising what has changed and how we've been changed as people. We've all been changed by what we've experienced over the last year and a half, and I think it's important to recognise that. And if we take the time to recognise that and to process that, then our building back better is more likely to be long lasting, more likely to be maintained, more likely to be authentic, and more likely to be open to new ideas, new ways, and new strategies. Once we've processed feelings and challenges from the past, we're then able to then reset, think about the present, and then move forward into the future and to build back better with meaning, rather than just because we think we should or we're in a rush to get back to how things were, when actually maybe that's no longer relevant or useful. So it takes time to create your new vision, whether that's in your individual life, in your tutoring role, or in your organisational role. What does that building back better look like? Really visualise that. What would you feel like? How would it look? What was working and what wasn't? And why do you want to change it? And how are you going to change it? It's a gradual process, and it's that kind of whole process of reviewing and appraising as you go along to see how things are going. But I think really sitting down and reflecting about what you would like to be different and really visualizing that can be really helpful in maintaining change. And the last thing is joy. And I'm a big fan of this. I know, again, it might sound really obvious and really simple, but we forget about joy, particularly in times of challenge and after a lot of change. we can just rush ahead and we forget that actually we need to refill. You know, we focus on getting through things and the hard stuff, but we need to focus on the good stuff and about refilling our sort of emptying pot, if you like, of joy and of resilience. So again, it reinvigorates us. It's a daily tool we can create and use to help us feel better. And it's a tool that we can help ourselves to communicate and connect with our students and with our patients as well. So it is a balance of the hard work, building back, but also the joy. And it really helps, again, us to bond together after a long time of being away and apart from each other. It's something which can really connect us together as well. So what does joy look like to you? Again, it's a bit like creativity. Everyone is different. It might be a bath, an ice cream, a comedy. It might be a student that's made progress, that you've helped, that you've impacted in some way, a patient who says thank you. It really can be very simple. And I think it's really helpful for you to all sit back and think, what actually brings me joy in my day-to-day life? And how can I get more of that? And how can you create that and make space for that? So we've all been through a lot, we've all been changed, and we need to give ourselves all of those different tools really to help ourselves build back, but also build back better. And I think we can all do that. And I would really like to say to all of you that I think the work you've done has been incredible. I think the way you support students has been incredible. And yeah, just keep on doing what you're doing, but also don't forget about yourselves in the process. So thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. And let's all try and support each other with those really simple daily tools to help us all build back better.
Thank you so much, Radha. Lots to think about. Immediately when you were saying the joy, I was thinking, I have one very elderly patient. She's about 85 and she brings me a spice bun every week. And she has done throughout the whole pandemic. And I think what enormous joy that's brought me. You know, it's been phenomenal. So these little moments are just transformative, aren't they, when we tap into them. So thank you so much, Radha.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Tweet at us at @KumekForKCL or follow Dr. Radha @DrRadhaModgill on Twitter. Thank you for listening. See you next time.